Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Fantasy Six Pack Hour with your hosts Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Cut down.
All right. Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, back in action, Mr. AJ Applegarth. What's going on, man?
A lot. It's been a long week already, and it just continues to get longer with all of the random sporting events going on tonight. So, yes.
By the way, speaking of random sporting events, go Hokies. They are smashing Syracuse right now, so sorry Syracuse fans.
Indeed.
I'm not sad.
I'm not apologizing for that one.
Nope, absolutely not. So
go, also
good to go there.
Go Diamondbacks. I knew AJ would like
if I one. Had a can of silly string, I would spray it through my camera and you would have
trying to
new
be nice
hair yet again.
Or maybe I was just trying
snakes
to save that for later when
snakes
you get me off.
Snakes alive with a silly string.
Yeah. I might have been trying to save that little dig for later when AJ pisses me off, because eventually he does every single show. But we digress. Thank you for bringing that one, Mike. But
All right,
before we jump into here.
Baseball, Susan. It's baseball.
Before we jump into everything that we got going on this week for week 8 of the fantasy football season, make sure you hit that like button, that subscribe button. Leave us those reviews. Comment on the show, we appreciate it. We'll respond back as best we can, and of course jump over to fantasysixpack.net and become an all-access member. You're going to get access to our award-winning rankings. I'm number 3 right now on Fantasy Pros accuracy contest. Jumped back up from number 5 last week, and then we've got our DFS projections, which are good for season long too. But you know, FanDuel and DK projections of half and full PPR projections there. We've got, and of course, you know, the biggest thing here is that you can get access directly to all of us on our Discord, where you can ask all of your league specific questions. You know, we try to cater as much of the content, like I said last week, to everybody out there, but it's hard. You know, you're going to have very specific questions. So that's where you can get the very detailed questions about your waivers, your trades, your start sit questions. Come at us there. So that's where all the value goes. So let's jump right into things here and bring on our guest of the week. We're bringing on Mr. Dan Johnson, our content manager for fantasy football over here at Fantasy Six Pack, man behind the scenes for the most part. He does a couple of articles as well. So how's it going tonight, man?
Happy to be here, guys. Happy to be here to grease the goose of, this Thursday night podcast. I would say that I'm like a long time watcher or listener or even downloader, but that's a lie. I really do work behind the scenes, and I gotta say I love the 8-bit intro to the podcast. Really,
Dave is paying, baby. He is awesome. Yeah, he made that whole thing. I know he had a little help on the side, but he made that happen. That was he like approached us with the idea, and I was like, this is kind of what I want. If you're going to make a video, this is what we want. And we have a baseball one too. It's phenomenal.
That's fantastic.
So good.
Great. Thanks for having me, guys. Happy to be
here. Yeah, you got fans, man. I love it. You're bringing the viewers.
Yeah, shout out to the League of Ordinary Dirtbags. 13 years going strong. I'm the commissioner of it. 02038, Franklin, Massachusetts. We got plenty of people here who are looking for me to drop select phrases throughout this podcast. So let's see if you two can figure out which phrases I'm dropping that I've been dared to drop throughout this hour.
Oh no. All right. Okay. Let's jump into things here. So we're going to start off with some news. And of course, you know, we're going to start off here with Tennessee, and like Ryan Tannehill is out. Malik Willis was already not the guy. We knew that, right? They drafted Will Levis, and he's now going to be the starting quarterback this week. Dan, what's your thoughts on Levis? And then, you know, the impact on, I think the only people anybody really cares about in this offense are Henry and D-Hop. So what's your take there on all of this?
Yeah, I don't know if I have a strong one. Joe, AJ, you guys let me know if you have a stronger one. You know, I was reading a bunch of articles today, actually, on the intangibles about Will Levis. Did you guys read all this stuff about how teams were concerned about his personality? Which, I mean, this really brings out like the celeb gossip follower in me. But I did not read, but
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. There were a lot of the teams that passed on Will Levis were concerned about his personality, which obviously isn't going to, you'd think shouldn't matter come Sunday if he's starting. It doesn't do much for me in terms of DeAndre Hopkins and Derrick Henry. You know, Hopkins wasn't. Am I correct that Hopkins did not practice today, or did he practice in a limited fashion? And I know he's getting better in rest days, actually. I'm pretty sure he either was not spotted at all, or he was spotted in a limited fashion. And, you know, I don't see him
on the injury report. I'm looking at now, granted, I use, for transparency here, I use the CBS Sports NFL injuries. You know, they're usually up to date. I know sometimes they, you know, depending on what source they have, sometimes they can be behind. But I'm looking at Tennessee right now, and I do not see D-Hop on there at all. So
okay,
I did.
Right, that could be a beat reporter just, you know, tweeting a little bit too early.
Yeah,
I did see though that he did cancel a signing, like an autograph signing. Like his most recent one, because of the team like selling.
Now if Taylor Swift did that, guys, how would we feel about her fantasy prospects going into the weekend? Is all I'm saying. It would be a wild goose chase. You know what I'm
now
saying?
We're winning the SEO war. We have a Taylor Swift dropped. There you go.
Yeah.
If Will
that's
Levis
one
starts,
right?
That's one that you had to drop. No, Taylor Swift wasn't wild goose chase. There's lots of goose stuff that's going on here tonight. But to your point about Will Levis, I don't think it matters. If I'm starting D-Hop, it's because if there are no teams on bye, I probably am not starting D-Hop. I'm always going to start Derrick Henry, though. Let me roll it out there.
I think you got to start Henry. Levis doesn't move the needle for me at all as far as this passing attack. I think it moves it the other way, which is sad because Tannehill was awful as well. Mike, shut up. I know you're going to chime in here and try to rub it in my face. Anyway, it's funny you mentioned the fact that, like, well, Levis is, you know, dropped because, you know, his like celebrity status or whatever, like, you know, he wanted to be too much like that. I'm looking at player profiler right now. Best comparable player, Jay Cutler. How hilarious.
Speaking of personality.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's
Cutler.
So perfect. I wonder if that was hilarious on purpose.
Again,
but I mean, like, look, we know the dude has an arm. Like, that's the thing. Like, you know, He's got an arm. He's an athletic guy. It's just a matter of pulling it all together. And look, I mean, we've been surprised before. I mean, like, maybe it works. It's hard to, really hard to see it happening with this team. It's just been in shambles, like, on offense all year. And I don't know. We'll see. I'm not putting a lot of stock into it, but
what do you guys move over here? I mean, okay. Yeah. Keep no, no, I was going to ask you what you thought about Chig Okonkwo as a tight end going forward. I mean, he's really like, just made no waves, right?
Yeah. He hasn't made any waves at all this year as it is.
He had one half decent game. He's
bust candidate for early season.
He's not returns. Startable. Not even close.
Yeah.
At this point, I've got him down at tight end 25. So
he's absolutely going to drop 28 with Levis as the starter this weekend.
Naturally. That's what tight ends do, right? Yeah. I mean, like, they just decide to, you know, score 30 points when you have no shares of them. Next up here, man, I this is a team that just the injuries keep coming, right? And so the Cleveland Browns, obviously Watson went out early in that game, so we already kind of knew that was happening. We were excited to have him back. Unfortunately, it didn't work. So now we got PJ Walker again. Sorry. But
my shirt throwing you off that much.
probably the most important injury for them now is in the running back room again. Jerome Ford, ankle sprain, gonna be out. They're staying a couple of weeks at least. I know they brought in Kareem Hunt. Pierre Strong and him kind of split the workload, if not Pierre Strong taking a little bit more of the rushing attack once Ford went out last week. What's your thoughts on what this backfield looks like moving forward, and who do you trust more?
Between Hunt and Strong, it's going to be Hunt. And how about I flip the question on both you guys? We had a trade happen in my home league this year that involved Kareem Hunt. And I figure maybe we can all collectively talk about how we value the Browns backfield based on how we evaluate this trade. How's that sound? Also, what are you guys drinking? Let's shout it out for the crowd.
Oh yeah. We got rid of our beer of the week segment because not enough people were doing it. But
I'm drinking.
AJ, I'll let you go.
New Trail, Zombies Are People Too.
Sorry, I'll do our. People have zombies too. I'll do this because we usually do it before we do beer of the week.
Beer.
Oh, like a radio button. That's sweet.
Yeah,
like always sunny in Philadelphia. Yeah.
That's right. Dan, what? Okay. You asked us, so I'll do it. This is a Commonwealth Brewing Company. It's called Chalky Digits. Double IPA with Lotus and Galaxy. I believe I gave this one a 3.5. On Untapped, it's sometimes some of my sips taste good and then some of them taste kind of chalky. Yeah, like it's weird. It's so all of a sudden it goes down and you're like
weird. That is you're so like, weird.
No, that's not
some
good.
Of mine taste like pumpkin and others like zombies. So
see, I used to do the whole craft beer thing. I used to do it hard. I'm drinking shout out to Olipop, which is a fantastic soda. I'm drinking that on ice, but then I've got a snifter of tequila here. So moving on to, so here's the trade and I want to hear what you guys think about it. So for the record, I'm Kareem Hunt all the way. I know he's lost.
Yeah,
a step.
Me too.
I'm Kareem Hunt all the way. I know he's lost a step, but my good buddy, guy who just was the best man in my wedding, traded Kareem Hunt. And hold on just a second. He traded Kareem Hunt and DJ Moore, and he got in return Kenneth Walker. What do we think about that? Ooh. And this is full PPR.
I still like it.
I think it's a great trade.
Jerome Ford's only if he can get Walker back, that's a steal.
That's very even in my mind. I like Walker the best out of that.
I don't think it is.
I kind of don't think it is.
I kind of think whoever got Walker ran, stole the bank here.
Yeah.
As long as Walker is healthy now, he's dealing with injuries himself.
Yeah. I mean, and he's been a little banged up, but he's obviously the focus there.
Oh my god.
Whereas, you know, everybody, including myself, was high on Charbonnet getting some touches, getting some work possibly in the passing game. You know, it's still early enough in the season that I don't feel like we've seen enough time go by for Charbonnet to really get involved. Gino's been kind of down, so you know they've just been able to lean on Walker. But with Ford getting injured, you know, I specifically talked about,
but he's only out for like 2 weeks.
Well, I know, but I specifically talked about, you know, when Hunt was signed, how Ford was the guy that took the damn job from him. He's the reason that Hunt was let go. But here we are with Hunt right back in the fold. So I think the team trusts him. I think he's going to keep being involved. You know, last week was obviously a good week for him. And I think he's just going to, you know, propel off of this. Like, do we even care about Pierre Strong? No.
Do you want to, as a backup?
Sure. Fine.
I mean, this week you're probably not starting him because there's no buys, but I'm telling you, don't sleep on this dude. He did get a ton of work, and I wrote about it in the usage article that I write every week. Everybody I know, and rightfully so, it's clearly Kareem Hunt over Pierre Strong, as you know, as far as talent, right? Pierre Strong is still good though. Like, He outsnapped him overall. He ran more routes, which is shocking. Like, you would think if somebody's going to run more routes, it's Kareem Hunt, but he didn't. Like, you know, he got a couple less carries, only by two. I think it's going to be more of a split than people think, but I do think Kareem Hunt gets most of the work. The biggest thing is that Kareem Hunt's getting all the red zone usage. So that's massive. And that's what we're talking about. And like, you know, if you want to talk about red zone usage, especially with this trade in mind, right? Look at Seattle. Like, it is all Kenneth Walker. Like, 29 attempts in the red zone. There's almost nobody that has more attempts in the red zone than Kenneth Walker. The only player, does anybody want to name it?
Who has more red zone attempts?
CMC,
AJ Brown. No, I don't. My official answer, Joe, is that I would like not to like name anybody.
Mike LaPlante was right. Christian McCaffrey,
oh,
34 okay. rushing attempts. Sense.
He loves saying that.
Now, if you put it within the 10-yard line, Kenneth Walker actually leads the league. So that's even more of a reason to like him, and he's got 6 touchdowns.
So is the bottom line here that if this backfield, like, there are signs in the shadows that Pierre Strong might actually take some legitimate work from Kareem Hunt down the line, and if you have Kareem Hunt this week, try to capitalize on his value and trade him for a guy, package him with a guy like DJ Moore for Kenneth Walker, because that's again. No matter who's this Matt Wendell.
No, I think once yeah. I think once Ford is healthy, I think it's going to be Kareem Hunt and Ford. I think right now, you know, Strong's going to get some work. That's pretty much it. So, but I mean, it's 2, maybe 3 weeks max where Pierre Strong has relevancy. Hunt, and then it goes back to Ford and Hunt, kind of split and work again, and with a little lean to Ford. So, but we should move on here. Last one up that I want to talk about, and the game is on right now, Bills and Bucks, so kind of relevant as well. Dawson Knox headed to the IR. Dalton Kincaid is the only tight end, active tight end on the roster right now, and they are targeting him quite a bit so far. You know, what's your, like, prospects of Kincaid going forward? Could he be, you know, like a could he be actually turn into a tight end one the rest of the season because of Dawson Knox not being around?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Bills have a lot to figure out on offense, obviously. I think when
we talked about that pre-show.
Yeah, I know. I think when it was working best the last 2 years, you really did see a lot of Dawson Knox. I recall a couple of regular season games versus the Chiefs where Dawson Knox all of a sudden was catching wheel routes, you know, 27 yards down on the sideline and stuff, and he was kind of beating everybody. I know in the preseason they were really experimenting with Dalton Kincaid as kind of like a secondary tight end receiving option for Josh Allen. I think it might even be easier for them to get a sense of what he's worth now that he can step up. Obviously, that's really easy to say after tonight. You know, you saw I think it was a screen pass that he caught for like 25 yards and went for a touchdown.
He's got three receptions off five targets for 43 yards and a touchdown already. So,
yeah, so someone in my home league used 15% of her fab budget on Dalton Kincaid. And this is a 12 team league, and it just so happened that Dalton Kincaid was on the waiver wire. We are a legitimate league. The fact that he was
on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues. Every single league I'm in outside of my 14 team leagues, he was out there. I dropped him in a 12 team league. I mean, he was doing absolutely nothing. I picked up Jonnu Smith and was using him. I was desperate.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather, I mean, it's so hard because the game's on right now, but I mean, would you rather start Dalton Kincaid or Kyle Pitts? I'd take Kincaid.
So my rankings had Kincaid this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
My rankings had Kincaid at 9 and Pitts at 11. So yeah, I would have played Kincaid over Pitts.
Yeah, I would have.
So there you go.
I definitely would have. I think there are.
I don't know, AJ. Maybe... You got any quick thoughts on this? And we got to jump into our ranking start sit stuff.
Yeah,
and we got some questions we need to get to too. Sorry guys, I'm not paying attention.
Shocker.
Oh, shut up, AJ. You got any thoughts on Kincaid moving forward?
I just said no. Let's move on.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you. Again. All right, so we do have a couple questions here. Josh, we got which trade do you like more? Trade Aaron Jones and Russ for Hurts, or Connor and Russ for Hurts? 20 man, whew, PPR. I could go through his roster. I think we can all read it.
Yeah, man, you invited me on this podcast, and that was fantastic. Yeah. I did not sign up for 20-man league evaluations.
Brutal.
Here. I'm going to leave this to you guys. I'm a 12 to 14 team league kind of guy.
I think I'm trading Connor and Russ for Hurts. Connor's out a couple more weeks. Jones was probably the guy you drafted higher anyway. So I'm still going to believe that Aaron Jones performs better down the stretch than James Conner. It's a coin flip, honestly. I mean, they were close in my pre-draft rankings. I know they were, but I'll lean trade Conner. So
I'm on board with that.
Nice. Thanks, Jamie. I saw that last comment for you. And we will get to your question here. So we are on Superflex. Should I trade away Amari Cooper to a contender for 2024 late second and Trey Tucker or Tank Dell and a late third?
I would take Dell if I'm doing it.
Man, idiot. Who the hell is Trey Tucker?
I was thinking the Phillies shortstop who stunk and then they clapped for him and then
Turner. That's Turner. Trey Turner.
Trey Turner. No. But who the hell is Trey Tucker? We're talking about IDP leagues? I don't know who Trey Tucker is. But no, I think Tank Dell would be decent. Amari.
Yeah.
I'm fine passing up on him at late second though. In the late third. I'm fine with it.
Trey Tucker,
Dynasty League.
If I'm looking at the same guy. Trey Tucker is a wide receiver for the Raiders.
Don't care about any rookie. Of them not
get,
named Zay
get
Flower.
Tank Dell. If you can get Tank Dell,
give up
Amari, who's getting old, and we obviously know this Browns passing offense is not going anywhere anytime soon. It seems like so. Pass. Yeah, I'm okay with it. I wish you could get early to mid second for him, but you're getting Tank Dell, who we've seen perform pretty well. So I like it. I think that's it for the questions here. So, voice from the sky. Let's go through our start sit scenarios.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I don't know. You're, am I sure? All
right. Yeah, we're going to go. Dan, you get to start us off here.
Great.
It's all good. It's not that hard. I mean, unless you're Joe. Then
and, of course, Gabe Davis had a blow-up game.
Is he having a great game right now?
8 for 79 and a touchdown.
Oh, that's fantastic. Hold on. I got to. There's only really one.
He always has these like massive games where everybody's like,
good games is awesome.
I was listening to Jeff. No. I was listening to Jeff Ratcliffe this morning on Sirius XM. And, he's like, there was a question. It was like, should I start this guy or this guy? And one of them was Gabe Davis. And he said, start the other guy. He's like, however, as soon as I say don't start Gabe Davis, he's going to do this. This is exactly what he's talking about. He's like, Gabe Davis will catch like two passes, three passes for like 20, 30, 40 yards max. And then he's going to go out and catch, eight or nine for, 120 yards and two touchdowns. It's happening.
I have a general question about other than the Heisman, like what is the difference NFL wise between Gabe Davis and Devontae Smith? Now that I'm a big Devontae Smith guy, but I genuinely feel like if you draft those guys, you have to leave them in your flex because they're going to get 6 points one week and they're going to get 24 points
right
another.
Now.
You know what I mean?
Sort of agree, but Devonta Smith still sees more targets. That's the huge difference.
Yeah, and his average depth of target is like only slightly shorter than Gabe like, Davis. It's like 14 to 12 if I read it right on.
I know you're big on the air yards and things like that. And I know that's important. I'm more of a I like the utilization, which is why I write that article. So you give me the volume, I'm gonna take it every day. But anyway, let's jump into the first question. Sorry, Mike. I know I kind of torpedoed that.
You're all good. Nothing new. All right, Dan. You starting CJ Stroud against the Panthers this week or Joe Burrow against the Niners?
Yeah, if I had to choose, I'm going Stroud against the Panthers. I know the Panthers defense is okay. Brian Burns is a little bit banged up, so I think their pass rush isn't going to be as good this week. I do believe in Stroud. I actually think that the fact that they were kind of using Pierce and Singletary in a little bit of a tandem last week suggests that they're willing to be a little bit creative with their running game, which should open stuff up in the play action against Carolina. We all know Carolina, aside from Adam Thielen, is not the most potent offense right now. They're going to be, I think someone's going to catch a touchdown or two in this game, as opposed to having it run from the Texans. I don't see necessarily Damian Pierce banging one home. I don't see any smash mouth football. I think CJ Stroud's going to get creative. I'm starting him. I like and I fucking love Nico Collins, man. That guy's like 6'5". He's huge.
He's Nico Collins.
Yeah. I'm a big Nico Collins guy. So I think Nico Collins catches one or two. I think Dalton Schultz does too. I think he's been great for CJ Stroud. In terms of Burrow, Burrow's great, but the Niners defense is for real, and it's just going to be a low scoring affair, especially because I think the Bengals defense has picked up a lot. That I could easily see that being like a 16-7 game, like very easily. Whereas like Panthers, Texans, I see that being more like 21-17. So I feel like there are a couple more touchdowns in there. What about you guys?
Joe, you take it.
So we'll go around the horn here, actually, is what we do. So I think what, Mike, I'm up next.
Yes. You got that right.
All right. So I'm actually going Burrow. Dude, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I have been pretty disappointed with this Niners defense. I know, you know, they shut down Cleveland and PJ Walker. They got had by Minnesota a lot, you know, this past Monday. And they've also been, you know, abused by Arizona and Josh Dobbs. Stafford and that, you know, that crew without Cup did pretty well. I think Burrow is, you know, all coming off a bye week. I think they're going to figure this out and they're going to get things rolling here. So I'm still sticking with Burrow, the savvy vet over the rookie, even though matchup says otherwise. So AJ, tiebreaker.
I'm going Stroud. I mean, it's,
this guy fucking knows.
It's easy.
All right. All right.
I mean, he's been the anti Ohio State quarterback. In
he
the
has
NFL.
Making me eat crow, dude. Big time.
Exactly. That's part of the reason I'm picking him.
Of course.
To continue to make you look bad for that specific call. But no, I mean,
it's only been like Dan 15 years in a row where no Ohio State quarterback's been worth a damn. So fine. Yes. Get one wrong. Bite me.
So. Yeah, I love Nico. You know, their run game is going to be going too, so it's going to be dual threat. Carolina stinks, even though they're coming off a bye too. So, whatever, don't care. CJ Stroud.
All right, next up.
All right, Joe, you get to start us off, and I made this one real special for you because I put your boy in there from your team, Sam Howell against the Eagles, or Dak Prescott against the Rams. You either get to pick your boy or you get to pick another quarterback in your own division. It's a lose-lose.
Thanks, man. Sam Howell or Dak? It's clearly Dak. I know Howell's had some decent games. The Philly's been giving up some points against the quarterback. Dak's just got the better supporting cast. And you know, the Rams have been exposed at times as well. That, you know, honestly, it's not as cut and dry. I mean, like, come on, we just had Kenny Pickett get 15 and a half points against them. Like, get out of here. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with Dak. AJ, you next.
I mean, Hal has had a really nice game against Philly, but that was really the last really worthwhile game I feel like he's had.
I'm going to stop you right there. The last time he played Philly, he was QB13 with 19.6 points, and then he went on a tear a little bit after that game, rattling off a QB5 finish and a QB8 finish.
Okay, you didn't let me finish. Aside from those two games, he was straight garbage. No, I mean, Hal's been – he's been too inconsistent for me. I do think this is going to be like a payback game in a sense, but Eagles are, pun intended, flying high after beating Miami at home last Sunday night in a game that was not at all close as I thought it would be. So I think, you know, with Jalen dealing with whatever knee issue or whatever it is, that could hinder the birds a little bit, but I think I'm leaning Dak this one too, unfortunately.
Clean sweep.
Yeah, it's going to be a clean sweep for me. And AJ, since Mike didn't let you finish, can we just take a couple seconds to let you rip out a solo on that sweet axe over your left shoulder there? Can you just grab that guitar and just rip something for us?
It's really just there for show. I am not good at playing guitar.
All right. Sam Howell is the most. Isn't he the most sacked quarterback in the league? And you're telling me Jalen Carter and Hasan Reddick are.
Oh, they're gonna eat. They're gonna feast, dude. There's a reason why I've got.
There's no reason why this is number one. I love you guys. I understand that this is a, you know, in theory a great question, but this isn't a question. It's not Sam Howell. It's Dak Prescott.
He just wanted to pick.
I fucking hate Dak Prescott. It's Dak Prescott, and I don't like him at all.
I mean, there's a reason why the Eagles are my number one defense this week.
Yeah, for sure.
It's almost like a guaranteed like 8 sacks. Like, come on, they're going to eat. It's going to be bad. So anyway,
yeah,
that is why I grabbed the Eagles defense after they were dropped.
Smart. I would say stinks. I don't think
he stinks. I mean,
thank you. Thank you, Kevin Dwyer in the chat about how stinks. Kevin he Dwyer, does. Yeah. He did stink at UNC. He lost a lot of people a lot of money on him.
He was like really good. You know, we had good talent around him. And honestly, I've said this on the show many, many times, if you actually go back and look at his stats from when he had, you know, all that NFL talent around him, right? And then the year after, when UNC as a whole wasn't good, his actual like stats weren't as bad as you think. And he added rushing to it. So he added an element to his game. He just couldn't win games for UNC because they were atrocious everywhere. So that being said, I don't think he's as bad as people think. I don't think he was a Heisman candidate. I don't think he was a first round quarterback, but I think, you know, should he been like a, what did he drop? Fifth round?
Yeah.
Should he been a fifth round quarterback? Probably not. He should probably been like third or fourth round. But that whole draft class got messed up. With Malik Willis falling to the third, like nobody wanted to take a quarterback until he went after the first two. So it was just a weird thing. But I still think he's got potential. He needs a better offensive line. They're bad. He also needs to learn to just, you know, get rid of the ball a little quicker. He's holding onto it more. You know, that's a learning curve. You know, he got kind of thrown to the wolves there, but I digress. Let's move on.
Real quick, point out for all our listeners that founder of the site Joe Bond is wearing a Virginia Tech ACC hat, so he might be a little biased in terms of Sam Howell.
Oh no, I hate UNC. I'm just kidding. I mean, come on, we don't like UNC. We're Virginia Tech. Me and AJ both. So there you go.
Go Heels.
Oh. By the way, it is 32-10 now. So yeah, we got to save.
Letting them creep back in.
Moving on to running backs.
All right. AJ, you got to start us off. Then this one's another fun one here. Deontay Foreman coming off a hot game against the Chargers or Joe Mixon at the 49ers?
I mean, again, is this a question? It's Foreman. Mixon, San Fran's defense is still solid. It seems to me that the Purdy boy is the problem these past few weeks, not necessarily the defense. They can still stop the run. I've already benched Joe Mixon in one of my leagues, so I would go with the hot hand and Foreman.
Dan, you take it next.
Oh yeah, I concur, and I don't really feel like I need to say much about it.
Yeah, that's that. Joe, clean sweep. Nope. Are you going to go back into a diatribe about some other ACC team? That
tiebreaker. We're going to tie here because Jamie is agreeing with me, Joe Mixon.
Votes count in this part of the show? Not trying to be
post,
rude.
Jamie, did you post your video yet?
He did.
Yes, he did. It was actually good. I forgot to show those. Damn it. We need to add that to the show sheet here so that I do it early so that we can see it. I mean, to me, it's Mixon. I still think, you know, volume's gonna roll here.
Roshan's still gonna get rolled, all the volume.
Roshan, well, no, but Roshan is practicing. So I think we're overvaluing Foreman here a little bit. I get the matchup sucks, but you've got to go with the volume and just neither one of them are good plays, honestly, at this point. I mean, Mixon is all the way down at where do I have him in half PPR? I've got him. I mean, I've got him at 17. And for a guy like Mixon who gets the amount of work he does, he's usually a lot higher. But because of the matchup, he drops. Foreman's a lot farther down because Roshan is in the mix. So I'm out on the Bears running game.
Until Roshan suits up and actually takes the field, I'm not worried about it.
I mean, look, if Sunday morning things change, obviously, maybe, you know, you throw Foreman way up there because he's going to be the only guy. But if you throw Roshan into the mix here, I think it is clearly Mixon in this scenario. So,
and I know we got to keep moving through everything, but, you know, for the record, Joe, I've always wondered, like, what it's like to be, like, what the strategy is to be someone on Fantasy Pros who gets ranked, like, really highly in their ranking accuracy stuff. So, like, when you say something where you're, like, you know, you're currently third overall and you're putting Mixon before Foreman, whereas, like, I mean, very clearly, AJ and I are just straight up shooting from the hip. You know, we're happy to go with Foreman. What makes you want to be a little bit other than just like the stats itself? And like, are you just kind of, are you telling yourself to just, you know, pump the brakes a little bit on Foreman, and that's why your rankings might be a little bit more accurate and Mixon might go ahead of him? Because like a lot of other people might say, like, okay, I'm going to put Foreman at 16 and Mixon at 19 this week, whereas you have Mixon at 17 and Foreman at 26, which is,
well, that's a pretty, again, the way my rankings work is they're projections based, and then, you know, kind of throw my own gut into that after a while. Again, the projections are right now. It's Thursday. We've only got one game right now, so things can change as of Sunday morning, and especially as of Sunday by 11:30 p.m. Eastern time, right when all the inactives come down, right. But as of right now, the projections are saying, and I agree with them, that Roshan's going to play. And when you add Roshan into the mix, Mixon is, you know, that first off, it shoves Roshan and Foreman both down the list because they're going to split the backfield. Mixon's the only guy there getting touches that at all. And yes, it's the 49ers, which is why Mixon's not in, you know, the top 12, which is where he kind of usually is. Because of volume, right? And so volume plays a big part into projections and how, you know, how many points they can get projected for, right? And so that's kind of how it works.
Haha, the producer wins. You guys said they were easy questions at first. And this one got real hard on you.
I like this one, voice in the sky. All right, hit me with this next one, and then I'm going to turn the camera off because I'm going to go get a little bit more tequila for the rest of the show.
I love it.
It's not a fun one. Alexander Madison at the Packers in a good matchup.
Oh, no.
Or Ramondre Stevenson against the Dolphins in another good matchup. Bad running backs, great matchups.
I actually like this question a lot, and I noodled over this one, and I went back and I watched the game film on both these guys. So saying that makes me sound real official. I'm going with Madison, and I don't love it, but I love it at the same time. Like, did anybody else watch Madison against the 49ers on Monday? That guy ran real hard. Like I feel like eye test wise. For Madison, I saw nothing out of him for the first 4 weeks. And now I really feel like the Vikings, with this win over the Niners, they're 3-4. This is the division that they won last year. I really feel like they're going to try to come out, and they're going to try to, you know, at least make it competitive with the Lions. I don't really like either of them, voice in the sky producer Mike. You know, if I see an eventuality where Ramondre catches like 4 or 5 out of the backfield against Miami and just by passing volume outscores Madison, but I wouldn't be surprised if Madison falls into the end zone this week and Ramondre doesn't, and for that reason I am choosing Ramondre. And yeah, I know Madison sucks, he's terrible, but he looked Jamie something or other. Anyways, yeah, Madison's not great, but I'm taking Madison over Ramondre, and now I'm going to get more tequila. Be right back.
So you can't argue with me. I'm sticking with Stevenson. I kind of agree with what Jamie was saying here that, I mean, it's, I know it's been rough sledding for Stevenson. Trust me, as somebody who rosters him, I'm dying a slow death in that league. I'm just kind of treading water, and I might make the playoffs, but I'm going to get smashed as soon as I get there. But Madison's nothing special. And you know who also is running hard? Cam Akers, right? I mean, let's be real. Like, Alexander Madison in week 6, 2.4 yards per average. Alexander Madison in week 7, 4.9 yards per average. Okay, much better. But in week 6, Cam Akers was 8 yards per average. Now, granted, off one carry. But you know, last week
sample size huge on that,
but still like 10 for 31. Like, he actually had less attempts, Madison did, than Akers.
Just throw Kiki and Ngakoue
at the end of the game.
He might have one carry more than Madison, 20 yards, which
almost saved my ass.
And then he's gonna have a 20 yard
talking over me AJ?
Per run average. Yeah, I am. That's right. It's my turn now.
The fact that they didn't use Madison at the end of the game almost saved my ass. I lost by a single effing yard in one of my leagues, off of a stat correction, which was awful. I was like, I went to bed like.
I feel at fault. I feel like I jinxed you. I said it.
It wasn't just you. There was somebody else on Twitter who was like, stat correction coming in. And I was like, nah. And then boom, it happened. I was like, yeah. It was literally 1 yard. I'm like, come on. And it made all, I was up by 0.02 and lost by 0.08 instead. Brutal.
Well, that sucks for you. Did you give your answer?
No, I did not yet.
And then the floor is all yours, pal.
Oh boy.
Oh, damn time. Jesus.
You said Ty Chandler.
Don't really like either of these either.
No, they're both not good options. I have them back to back in the rankings. I had them 22 and 23. So good luck.
I'm gonna go with Madison on this just for matchup sake. Miami has been better against the run, you know, and if you take out week 1 where they gave up 200 yards to the LA Chargers backfield, you know, they've still given up, you know, teens points, but that's split for the whole rushing game. So Green Bay has given up over 100 yards to running backs, tandems or whatever. So that is my definer right there. That I think even with Akers getting that massive 8 yards per carry average for the one carry for 8 yards he had that day, whoop-de-doo, you know.
All right, let's jump into our receivers and try to go a little faster here as we try to close out.
All right. So, Dan, just for your knowledge, for the receivers, you're going to pick 2 that you're starting and 1 of them you will be sitting.
Ooh. You got it. I'm ready. I think Joe leads us off here.
First, yeah.
I do.
That is correct.
Just being polite to fill you in on that.
Appreciate that. I was going to get to that if you didn't. So
yeah, eventually. Yeah, eventually.
All right, Joe, you got Deontay Johnson coming off the injury against the Jacksonville Jaguars, Amari Cooper against the Seattle Seahawks, or Marquise Brown against the Baltimore Ravens. Who are you sitting? Who are you starting?
Right now, I mean, so I know you wrote these questions before today's news, but Johnson may not even play. He's back on the injury report with a hamstring. So pretty easy choice, honestly.
Quickly.
Johnson, I totally forgot about that. It's all right.
But
what if we tried to make it interesting?
If they were all healthy, I'd probably still sit Johnson. It's an ugly. They're all on pretty bleh offenses, honestly. But I'd rather take my chances with Brown and Cooper. I mean, look, we've seen PJ Walker just like hyper target Cooper a few times, 8 targets both times when he's been in the game. Marquise Brown's had some really nice games. Johnson hasn't quite gotten there yet, so I'll take my chances with the other two.
Yeah, but Johnson also hasn't played. So
no, but even when he did play, it was bad. It wasn't good.
He played one game, and then last week he had a decent week, 5 for 79. I mean, that's not terrible. It's not great.
Brown and Cooper have both had better games.
Oh yeah, they have. But F Brown,
and that game last week was so bizarre.
String last week, so yeah, I'm not.
That game last week was bizarre. I don't think anybody expects that to happen again, and nah.
Maybe. But again, matchups wise, I mean, and this is assuming health. If Deontay's healthy, I would expect this to be a good second bounce back game for him against a susceptible Jaguars secondary. But yeah, if he's injured, then obviously I'd be benching him. So.
Yeah, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. I'm gonna change it up a little bit though, since DJ's injured. Who am I starting? Marquise Brown against Seattle, Hollywood Brown against Baltimore. Give me the revenge game, not for the revenge game reasons. I mean, I am starting obviously Cooper and Hollywood Brown, but I think Hollywood Brown's like to get traded. I really do, and I think he's going to try to get out there, and I think that there's a little bit of him that doesn't like the fact that he was traded from the Ravens. I think that he's going to see targets. I think he's going to make the most of them this week. Give me Hollywood Brown to the moon this week. I'd start him in DFS, whatever, you know.
Cooper against Seattle's a phenomenal matchup, by the way.
Yeah. Versus Seattle is fantastic. Seattle stinks, but, you know.
It is PJ Walker, so you do worry. But hey, I mean Josh Jobs. I mean, like,
no, and Amari Cooper is awesome. We've seen him produce with plenty of quarterbacks. But I am taking Hollywood Brown. I'd start Baltimore's, him over. Yeah,
Baltimore's so good though on D. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. AJ, you get this one. This one's a spicy one, in my opinion. Nico Collins against the Panthers, DJ Moore against the Chargers, or Calvin Ridley against the Steelers?
Definitely playing Nico.
That's the definite.
Other two.
Yowzes. That's the definite, huh? Nico was the
definite.
Did
you see the Bears quarterback?
I think I'm going to go DJ.
With the arm wrestle, AJ. I mean, come on, the jeans and that guy. He's going to feed the ball to DJ more.
Yeah, I like DJ for sure. Ridley laid an absolute egg, which was fine with me last week because I don't own him anywhere, and I played him somewhere. But
played him somewhere. I love that.
I don't know. Somewhere we don't know anything somewhere anymore. Might have had him.
I'm kind of with you. I have him in a few places, but been brutal.
Yeah, I don't know. That's where I'm going. I don't really feel like talking about it. but that's what
I'm gonna go.
We're tired.
I'm gonna go Nico at Carolina, and actually, surprisingly, I am gonna go Ridley at Pittsburgh. I think this might be a Ridley breakout game. This is just completely based on feel. It's nothing on stats. I don't think Tyson, I don't even know how to say his last name, but I mean, that electric interview with his dad, and I think it was Tom Pelissero where they did the arm wrestling together.
Yep.
You guys have seen this, right? Phenomenal. That's fantastic television. I just think all of it's all done now. I think it all got all of his like good energy got sucked up into that interview. His dad stole the show. I don't think Tyson Bagent is going to do anything besides throw ducks and picks this week. DJ Moore might get some points on a jet sweep. But for me, I'm going to take a couple of toe tappers from Calvin Ridley along the sidelines. And I am definitely taking Nico Collins starting at Carolina.
Yeah, I'm sitting Ridley. That as somebody who has him, it has been a bumpy ride. I loved him after week one. I loved him after week four. Who knows? Maybe after week eight, I'll love him again. It's been bad. Other than that, I don't know what to do. They're targeting Ingram. They're targeting Etienne. They're targeting Christian Kirk more. I will say this: it's possible Zay Jones comes back, and when Zay Jones is in the lineup, he's actually performed better. So maybe there's a chance. I don't know. It's hard for me to trust Ridley right now over two guys who have been way more consistent. You want to shoot for the moon? It's Ridley. Good luck picking which one of that out of these two to start him over. Probably Nico. I don't know. They're both pretty close in my rankings. So Ridley's a little farther down for me.
It is true. Like, Lawrence doesn't really feed anybody. And, like, Ridley did really well in Atlanta when Ryan fed him. And he also was really good over the top. And, like, the Jaguars offense doesn't do great when it's over the top. Like, Christian Kirk, they really love those Christian Kirk finding, like, the empty areas of the zone. You know, they and Evan Engram finding the empty areas of the zone in the flat. Like, they're very much so a Doug Peterson offense in that sense. And I expected Lawrence to be able to, them to drop some plays for Ridley to get bombs and stuff this year, but he just hasn't been getting bombs.
I mean, you look at it like the target share for him, 21% for Ridley, 23% now for Kirk, throwing the tight ends. Ingram has 22. So that's more than Ridley. Running backs, ETN's got 11. So, like, yes, not more, but that's it. Just tells you that this ball is being spread around. And then if you go to game logs, like if you look at this team and you look at when Zay Jones was there, in week one, he saw 23% of the targets. In week two, when he got injured mid-game, he saw 15%. Week five, saw 12%. That was just week back. So, like, they're easing him in. He's seeing a fair number of targets. But, like, that's the thing. Like, it's funny because those are the, like, week one and week, I said week four, it was week five. Week four and five were actually the games where really took off. So, there's something with him and Zay Jones in the mix that matter. So maybe Zay Jones comes back and it works. I don't know. But right now I'm sitting Ridley. That's what I'm more comfortable
with. How willing would you be if you're a Ridley owner to trade him away for like an RB2? Like if someone offered you, Jahmyr Gibbs pops to mind, I'd take that immediately. Let's say like James Cook. If someone offered you James Cook for Calvin Ridley in full PPR, what are you doing?
In a vacuum, yes, I think I'd do it. Obviously, team composition comes into play here. You know, you've got to have receiver depth.
Of course. I'm just talking,
pretty desperate for a running back vacuum type of thing. But yes, in a vacuum, I think, you know, a cook, a I'm looking at like Rashad White, who's been struggling, you know, those types of guys. I think I might pull the trigger. Like, and I've been shopping Ridley in a couple of leagues that I have him. I haven't been able to move him for anything. Nobody cares about him right now.
Yeah, no, everyone's afraid to take him on because they just don't know.
They see these, you know,
you want to know what? Jaguars have been in a lot of my betting parlays this year. If I'm Calvin Ridley, I'm including them in mine too. Let's let the dice fucking roll. You know what I mean? All right.
Yeah, let's jump into this last receiver question, Mike.
Absolutely. All right. We get a couple of hot receivers and then a not so fun one. Dan, you starting Josh Downs versus the Saints? Josh Palmer versus the Bears, or DeAndre Hopkins with Will Levis against the Falcons?
Yeah, this is a great. It's like when you go in the fridge on like a Friday night, Mike, and you look in there and there's like a sausage left over from Monday. There's like enough peanut butter to make like a peanut butter on like a cinnamon raisin bagel, and then there's like some chicken noodle soup. Like, it's like you have no fucking rhyme or reason why you'd pick anybody, but you have to pick two of them because you're hungry. So I'm not starting anybody against AJ Terrell. I really am not. AJ Terrell I think AJ Terrell is a stud, and so AJ Terrell being the shutdown corner for Atlanta. So I am gonna sit Hopkins. Especially because it did take him two games to get comfortable with Ryan Tannehill. I kind of believe in Will Levis, and it very easily could be the case that, you know, Hopkins gets like 13 targets this game, but I like the Falcons defense a little bit. Josh Palmer did practice today with his knee injury. Big Chargers fan here. I know how much
wearing the Bills jersey.
Well, that's just because I drafted Diggs like fifth over. That's because I'm a player-driven sports fan, guys. Other than like the Boston that. Red Sox, you know, I started liking the NFL because of Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson. So, you know, I love the Rams, and then there's Herbert on the Chargers and stuff. Yeah, I think Hopkins puts up like in half PPR. I think Hopkins probably puts up like 7. I think Palmer puts up like 9, and I think Josh Downs, he's gonna do what he did last week. He's gonna catch a breakaway touchdown. He's gonna put up like 13. It's for me. It's Downs and Palmer, or Down and Palmer. Yeah,
I agree. It's funny. I was looking at my rankings right now, and projections based right now, Hopkins is in between Palmer, who's high, Downs, who's a little lower. I will need to manually move those. I do not agree with the projections. My Thursday rankings are very projections based right now. The manual stuff comes a little bit later as I tweak along the way. But yeah, with Will Levis being the guy right now, Atlanta's been stingy, man, as you've been saying, Dan. I can't do it. So Downs has really come along. I know New Orleans' defense is pretty solid too. So, you know, it's going to be close between those two, but give me Downs and Palmer. Downs is at least shown something, right?
All right. Well, all right. Now we get to the fun part, tight ends.
Oh, AJ's not gonna answer.
I'll
go on Downs.
Listen, I know the Phillies got knocked out, but we definitely have to give AJ his turn. Okay. Yeah,
that's my bad. Joe's been taking a lot of the screen time, so I keep thinking that AJ has said his answer already.
Sorry. But
that's my bad, AJ.
Downs, Palmer. Write it down. Move it on.
All right. All right. So,
last one up.
Yes, sir.
It's me, right?
Yes. You get Evan Engram at the Steelers. Dalton Schultz going to continue the touchdown streak against the Panthers.
I'm going to go with Evan Engram. As I just said, Ingram's getting a good number of targets on the season. And so I kind of like that. Schultz is very touchdown dependent. And so if you want to go there, you can. But Ingram's third on the season as far as is targets for tight ends. In fact, he's really tied for second. Kelce and Waller are tied for first on their teams. Hawk and Ingram are tied for second. You know, you go raw numbers, he's still fourth. 59, 57, 49, 49. So tied for third, really, with Laporta. Shockingly, and everybody, I know everybody hates him, Darren Waller, number five at 48 targets. I get he's not been what everybody wanted, but he's still been good. Schultz is just, you know, he's just so much farther down the list, you know, 33 targets. I know he had a couple of good games, you know, there, but give me Ingram.
All right. Okay. I am going to go with Schultz on this one. Already talked about Houston and Stroud, and you know, aside from Nico, Schultz, I feel like has really come on a lot lately, and he's been a very good safety valve for Stroud. So I'm leaning on him, and that's my story.
Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, AJ, I lean with you, and I think that. You know, I think that one of my big upsets of the week is Carolina over the Texans. I really, Carolina's plus is getting three with the Texans. I know I said earlier that I think that that could be a relatively low scoring game, but the way that the NFL has gone this year, I feel like that's going to be the game that's like 28-27. I think I definitely think that Schultz has established himself as someone that on second and third read that Stroud looks to. Tank Dell's still a little shaken up. He and Nico Collins are both like mid-range targets for him. Who's going to be the guy he checks down to in the flat? Is it going to be Singletary or Pierce? No. It's going to be Dalton Schultz. Give me Schultz over Engram. And for the record, I do really like Evan Engram, and I love what he's done for the Jags offense. But I just feel like I haven't seen the Jags offense click on all cylinders yet this season, and I'm just not sure it's going to come against. I wrote for our site the Jags preview, and I was like, take all these guys to the moon. Like, seriously, like I and Kirk's been that, and ETN's been that, but do I think that Engram's breakout game is breakout game, meaning do I think that he scores, I guess in this case, more than Schultz versus the Steelers? Probably not. So I lean Schultz here.
Yeah, it's close, and Schultz has really come on lately, but yeah, I still like the consistency of Ingram a little bit more, but you guys aren't wrong as far as like the points you make.
Ingram looks so good on tape too. Like his release and his catches, it just is like I feel like Lawrence is pushing for the offense to be better than what it is. So he's pushing for the downrange targets, and he kind of settles for Engram. Once the offense starts to click on all the vertical levels, I really feel like Engram's going to elevate himself to like,
I mean, how crazy is this target? 8-8-8-6-7-7 for Engram. Like that's week two. That's absolutely insane. Like, to find a tight end to get that amount of targets consistently, I mean, it's so hard to not start him. And Schultz is in an offense where, man, like, you just know, like, they're starting a rookie. You never know.
But, it's true.
Say your piece. I got to set up a couple things anyway.
All I was gonna say was I think you're right. I think everybody's really high on Stroud. I know I got a guy in our home league who's starting CJ Stroud, you know, so that's one of that's someone who's considering on no bye weeks, Stroud over that Stroud is one of the top 12 quarterbacks. I don't know if the bottom's gonna fall out from under the Texans. I think everybody was expecting that from the get-go. But I think Nico Collins comes back down to earth rest of season, and I think Schultz sees a slight uptick because I think I would bet CJ Stroud that they're gonna get the book on Stroud a little bit. They're gonna start double covering Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz, who has experience finding holes in zones in the Dak Prescott offense there.
Oh yeah. Very smart with that.
In Dallas, I think Dalton Schultz rest of season is probably a tight end you want to try to get your hands on.
Absolutely. Alrighty. So we are now moving on to the end of the show where we're going to be giving our silly string picks. If you guys do not know what this means, it's where we give our predictions for a player to go over or under. We typically do half PPR. If you really feel strongly with PPR, I don't care. Just let me know. Projection total for the week. We share them on Twitter. Feel free to chime in and let us know your picks. And then if you lose, you need to get silly streamed. Last week was not a good week for anyone. Most of us here on the show. The only person who got it right was Steve Huntinger. Me, AJ, Jamie, our famous guest here, and Mike all got it wrong. So I don't want to have to share all the videos. I know Mike and AJ, you've been wrong before, so we've shared your video. I'm going to share my video here. So this is me here. Let's see if I can find the button.
All right, hi, I'm Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. I lost my week 7 silly string picks on the Fantasy Sixpack Hour. Javonte Williams let me down by scoring over 10.12 half PPR points, which is something he had not done all season. So I now get to get silly string by my kids, and they're super excited to do it. So here we go.
In the face.
Wearing safety glasses.
Yeah.
Good luck.
You wore glasses the first time, and so did Mike.
I wore goddamn goggles the first time.
Yeah, you wore those big ass goggles the first time. Mike wore them the first time. We do have where's Jamie? I want to find Jamie because Jamie's is hilarious. Jamie, do you mind if I share? Yeah, the smell was gross. We did it in my basement, and I came down a little bit later and was like, oh, I really wish I hadn't done that. That was nasty.
You gotta clean it up like immediately too, because
otherwise it just gets gross. So Jamie, I'm gonna share yours if you don't mind, man.
Yeah, share it.
So here we go.
All right, I'm here for the Fantasy Six Pack Silly String Challenge. I obviously failed. I picked Michael Wilson, hyped him up all week. He let me down. So here we go.
That looks like more of what I was expecting from Silly String Joe. What kind of
I had a 10 and a 7-year-old trying to do it to me.
Nice.
That silly string looked like it fell off like nothing. Like, did you like grease yourself beforehand?
I don't know, so it was weird. So I was actually, that's why I was asking.
Kudos to you, Jamie, for really taking it there.
That was awesome, Jamie.
I was asking AJ like where he got it, because his silly string is pretty good. Mine came out like it was confetti. It was weird. Like it didn't work. So I'm gonna have to buy some better silly string, I guess. But let's get to our pick. Let's finish this off. So Dan, you are the guest. Where are you going with yours?
I'm going on the over for Bijan this week. I really think that I'm taking the
What's
this
his
is the Bijan Robinson
12.97.
What'd you say?
It's 12.97, I believe.
12.97 half PPR.
I am definitely taking the over on Bijan this week. I think I think the breakout week's coming. Why not this week versus the Titans? The Titans rush defense, I think, is a little bit of fool's gold. If you take a look at them and you see who they've scored against or how they've scored against running backs, they shut in week one a New Orleans offense down that had no Alvin Kamara. In week two, they shut Chargers offense down that didn't have Austin Eckler. In week four, they shut Bengals offense down that still hadn't figured itself out. But other than that, they've given up. They gave up 27 points to Cleveland with Nick Chubb. They've given up 38 points to Indianapolis, which didn't even have Jonathan Taylor at that point. That was just Zach Moss.
Game,
and then
dude.
Last week it was 14.1 points to Baltimore, which the running game there, obviously no Dobbins.
Wow.
So
that...
I think
that was also like a 80-yard catch and run from Gus Edwards, which never will happen again. I will put a lot of money down.
Definitely won't, but I'm telling you, this is Bijan's week against the Titans. Right. I think
hopefully doesn't have a headache.
I think seriously. I think he's 21.
All right, AJ, what you got?
All right, I am I'm taking Breece Hall, and I am going over 14.69 because there's a 6.9 in it.
What's
better than 169.14? Why not? That's a busy night. But the Giants have given up over 100 yards to every rushing team that they've faced except for last week against Washington. Jets coming off a bye. It's one more week with Zach Wilson, you know, practicing and not getting laid out. So I think that's good for him. And I think that they're going to lean on Hall this week. And hopefully I am not eating more silly string.
So I'm going, and I had my games wrong. I'm sorry, man. Catch and run from Gus Edwards was against Detroit. Who is the team I am picking the under or against right now? Josh Jacobs under 14.1 points. This offense doesn't look good right now. They're struggling to score. Jacobs is getting a lot of volume, and I know I love the volume play, but it just doesn't feel like it's going to work right now. Detroit, outside of last week where Gus Edwards, you know, kind of, like I said, he caught that 180-yard pass, ran fairly well. Outside of that, Kenneth Walker was the only guy who actually did any damage, and he scored two touchdowns. But outside of that, it was 17 rushes for 43 yards. So really, outside of like two red zone touchdowns, he did nothing. So I'm taking my bets here and saying Josh Jacobs in an offense that is struggling right now to find an identity and really get going is going to go under 14.1 points. And I believe we have a Jamie bet here. There's a lot of you have. Which one is it? A lot of comments here. Like, do you know which one it is?
He's saying Roshan Johnson over points
if he plays.
I can go while you're looking up that Roshan projection. Yeah. All right, so. I know I whiffed on the under last week, but I'm going for the under again. Najee Harris projected 9.8 points. Not been very good. He's going up against Jacksonville. I projected the under here. Jacksonville is sixth best against running backs in fantasy, only allowing 12.16 fantasy points. And Najee Harris has only gone over 9.8 points twice in six games. So I like my chances.
All right.
As do I, Mike.
Hopefully we don't get silly stringed. I need a break.
You can't find it because it's a Sunday night game. That's why I was asking on.
Okay. No, I know where it is. Hang on. I can find it. Yeah. Hang on.
Because I was gonna go.
Roshan's 8.3 points. We go with that, Jamie.
What's Eckler?
Eckler.
Yeah, because that's who I was initially trying to find.
15.8.
Ooh,
that's pretty high.
Stick with Brees.
Yeah, I was thinking Brees, man. So Jamie, if you're good with Roshan over, what did I say, 6.8 or whatever it was, which actually, man, could want, or 8.3. I mean, if he's like officially in, I guess, yeah. So he's saying over 8.3. There we go. So we got a Jamie. Roshan Johnson 8.3 over. There we go. All right, that is it for the show. Dan, thank you for coming on, man. It was a blast talking with you, and yeah, we'll have to do it again. But before we let you go, let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter, on what you got going on this year, kind of promote yourself, man.
Sure. Yeah, I can't really promote myself at all. I'm not a promotable kind of person.
Of course you are.
I work for Fantasy Six. I do a couple articles a week on Fantasy Six Pack. I mostly just help facilitate the great writing voices of the folks at Fantasy Six Pack. I do a lot of other stuff. But one way that you can support me is by supporting my man, Justin Herbert, who just is unsupported by his terrible coach, Brandon Staley. So you can't really find me on Twitter. I don't really tweet. I'm on Instagram. I'm kind of funny on Instagram. The Great Dansby 9. You can follow me there. I just got a new puppy. I got married, but very little has to do with football. But I'm both rooting for the Chargers this year. Let's go Chargers. But I'm also rooting for them to lose because they come to Foxborough near me on December 5th. And the more they lose and the more the Pats lose, the cheaper the tickets are going to be. So I want to get a 200 level ticket for like $40. So if we want to root against the Chargers but root for them at the same time, we can do whatever we want. That's what it's like being a Chargers
fan. As long as Justin Herbert and Eckler and Keenan Allen do well, I'm exactly okay with it.
I have the
defense can let up 40 points. The offense can score 35. I'm good.
Exactly. 100%. Go for it on every fourth down, Brandon Staley, you fucking dweeb. I don't care. whatever it is. But no, seriously, support me by supporting these two guys. These two guys are great at what they do. I know I talked about Herbert mostly, but Matthew Stafford is the best, is the most stand-up guy in the entire NFL. Go Rams. I never thought, as a Boston fan, I live in Maine. I never thought I'd be rooting for both LA teams, but those are the ones that I am rooting for. And just a quick little shout out. Maine did experience a mass shooting last night. First one in years. Guy killed more in one night than he did than the entire state had in 2 years. So keep your eyes on that. If you feel like donate.
Door's locked, man.
a couple miles north of us. Manhunt's still going on, so thoughts and prayers are definitely appreciated. Keep holding the light, all you guys, and thanks so much for having me on, you two. This was an absolute blast. AJ, sorry about your Phillies. I watched the game last night.
Hey, what can I say? The Sixers pulled the Phillies and came up short by one as well tonight against the Bucks.
And probably Joe, because congrats indeed to the Hokies on
man, AJ's a Hokie too, man.
Yeah.
Oh, congrats! Well, congrats.
Just to let you know.
Boom. Oh, there it
that's
is.
How, that's yeah, how me and AJ know each other from
you
college.
Had that one yet, Joe?
Did you actually? Did you guys go to Virginia Tech?
We both did. Mm-hmm.
Oh wow, that's awesome! I bet I was like a young pup living on the, because I grew up from age 2 to 7, so probably from 1992 to 1998. I was
not that old,
right? Okay, all right. Well, I don't know how old you guys are.
I was there from like 2000 to 2004.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
I enjoyed my time just after you left. 99 to 04.
Yeah, good football years for sure.
You had that too.
I love what you guys do, Joe. Congrats on being number three so far through the season for Fantasy Pros, and hope to be back sometime this season.
Yep, absolutely, man. We'll figure it out.
Awesome.
Have a good night, man.
Cheers, buddy.
Peace. No, AJ. Sorry, I don't. By the way, had to throw that up on the screen again. I don't think I have
Fighting Hokies Lager.
I have not. No, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, my boy Timmy Kaz, shout out, hooked me up with these when we went up to the Rutgers game. This is my last one. I was sitting on it for a little bit, and then may have even forgot I had it, but it was in the fridge. Found it and was like, oh, all right.
Cool.
Had to break it out for tonight since they destroyed Q's 38-10.
And they gave up in the second half. Like both teams were just like, this game's over.
Okay. Good stuff.
All right, man. So that is it for this week. I believe, if I'm getting it right, our week 9 guest next week will be Ryan Noonan from 4 for 4. So looking forward to talking to him. And that's it for the show. Go Hokies. And it looks like the Bills are taking this one. It's going to be 24-10 with about 2:50 left to go. So game over there too as well. So have a good night. See you all next week. Peace.
All right. See you.